I would like to direct your attention this afternoon to a verse in that chapter in Luke that we read, Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse 37. Luke 18, verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. We have here a man whose life is completely transformed. He was a blind beggar. He meets Jesus and he receives his sight and he follows Jesus, glorifying God. We have a wonderful miracle. Everyone who gets to know Jesus is transformed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Wonder, are you a new creature? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Could that describe you? You see, becoming a Christian is not just having some new beliefs. It's not just a matter of some new practices. Becoming a Christian is not a matter of living a better life. Becoming a Christian is falling in love with Christ. Giving your heart to the Lord. Taking Christ into your heart so that you say to him, Lord, what do you want me to do? My life is now yours. You have my heart. It's a relationship with Christ. And today, here in church, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. This man called out to him. And a wonderful miracle occurred. If you call out to Christ today, call out from your heart to him, he will perform a wonderful miracle in your life too. Well, first we have here a blind beggar. What a miserable existence he must have had. Who would want to be a beggar? Jesus tells us the parable of the unjust steward. He was told that he was going to lose his job. Remember what he said. What am I going to do? I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. Yes, indeed. It's not a very pleasant thing to be a beggar. I remember the first time I saw a beggar. I had grown up in the town of Stornoway in the island of Lewis, and it was a small rural community where everyone looked after one another. We didn't have beggars. And on my way to university, I passed through the town of Inverness, and there in the station, I saw a man sitting in the gutter with a bowl in front of him, very likely an alcoholic. It was such a pathetic picture. Who would want to be in that situation? But this man, he wasn't just a beggar. He was a blind beggar. Now we have our different senses. We have ears, we have speech, we have our noses to smell things, we can touch. But surely the most precious sense we have is our eyes. With our eyes we see the way, we see dangers, We see beautiful things, flowers and trees and mountains and rivers and seas. With our eyes we can read, and a whole world opens up to us through books. But imagine living in a world of darkness, not being able to see. So a man who's blind, and he's a beggar, and he's sitting there begging. What a pathetic situation he was in. And yet, is that not an excellent picture of you and me by nature? We're blind. We can't see ourselves and our lost condition, our miserable state, our horrible sins. We can't see God and his holiness and his wrath against sin. We can't see the road we're on and the danger we are in. And we're beggars. We're so poor. Our debts are mounting up all the time. And there's nothing that we have to pay God for our debt. And our situation is getting worse all the time. We're blind. We're beggars. In a sense, we're walking along, as it were, the edge of a cliff. Blind, getting nearer and nearer the edge. And then at any moment, we step over the edge into that lake of fire, that state of misery from which we can never get out. We're born blind. And we're born under the wrath and curse of God. A miserable condition. But here, secondly, we see a great Savior. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. He's able to help. He's given sight to other blind people. He's helped many needy souls. He's performed mighty miracles. He's transformed many lives. He's made many poor people rich. He's lifted the beggar from the dunghill and set him with the chief, even with the princes of his people. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He's able to give you a mansion forever. I remember a man I knew. He had been an alcoholic. And then he went to AA. And he stopped drinking. Because he stopped drinking, he was able to save money. And eventually, he built a lovely house for himself. And he was showing a Christian neighbor around his house, and he was very proud of his house, very proud of having stopped drinking. And as his neighbor was leaving, he said, "What do you think of it?" He said, "It's lovely. But do you have a house when you die? What will happen then?" And by God's grace, that was what was blessed to his conversion. It's all very well having a house, a nice house here, but what good is that if it's only for a few years, 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 years, and then you die? Do you have a home to go to? A home in heaven? Are you sure? Some people say, "Well, I'm quite young. I'm very young. I've got a long time to live." How do you know? I've known so many young people who've died. Remember one young man in the island of Skye, and he was getting ready for school. Put his arm into one arm of his blazer. His mum was downstairs and she heard a noise and he wasn't coming down. She went up. There he was, one arm in his blazer, lying on the floor dead. No warning, just happened like that. Another fellow that I knew in Skye, and he was washing dishes in a restaurant and just turned round with some dishes, fell over and died. Think of another young fellow in Glasgow along the road from us who was driving a quad bike, full of life, full of vigor, struck a lamppost and was killed. How quickly life can come to an end. If that was you today, where would you be? Would you open your eyes in hell or in heaven? A great Savior, but also, thirdly, a passing Savior. He's passing through Jericho for the last time. He's on his way to Jerusalem, where he's going to die for our sins on the cross. He'll never again pass through Jericho. This was the last time. For this blind man, it was now or never. And as I preach to you today, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by Cornerstone Church. Will it be the last time you hear the gospel? Maybe. Who knows? Jesus of Nazareth will not always be passing by. He's passing by today. Today is the day of grace, the day of opportunity, but these opportunities are getting fewer. And one day it will be your last opportunity. How soon could that be? We read in Isaiah 55, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Can't always be found. And he's not always near. But he can be found today. And he's near. Nearer than you think. Jesus is here today. Next, we notice here an earnest cry. The blind man hears the crowd coming along the road. He wonders what it is. He asks and he's told that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cries out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He must have heard previously about Jesus, heard about his miracles. And these miracles were signs, signs from the Father that Jesus wasn't just any ordinary person, wasn't just even a great prophet, but there were signs that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And faith comes by hearing. He had heard about Jesus, and now he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, and he recognizes who Jesus is, that he's the Son of David, David's son, who's David's Lord, David's greatest son, who was the root of David, from which David came, as well as the shoot of David, which grew out of David, the root and the offspring of David. And so he cries out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He knows that he's able to help. And he cries for help. And Jesus is able to help you. And that's why you're encouraged also to cry to him for help. And you know, in Romans 10, there's a great promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your past, whatever your present, whosoever, that includes you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A wonderful verse, that. Tremendous. But it's not a matter of a half-hearted call. Lord, save me. And then you just forget about it. It's a matter of crying in earnest with meaning. This man, he cried out. Cried out with a loud voice. And he was disturbing the peace. The people didn't like it. Well, it's not very pleasant if you have somebody yelling. And they told him, be quiet. Be quiet. Stop shouting. Stop making a fuss. Stop making a noise. But what was his reaction? He only cried out the louder. Because he was in earnest. He meant it. And he didn't care what people thought about him. Do you care too much about what people will say, what people will think? What does it matter what people say or think? There's one thing that matters, and that's to be saved. It's to have Christ as your Savior. It's to be delivered from the wrath to come. It's that your blind eyes would be opened. It's that you would be raised from spiritual death and saved. He cried out the more, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. He wanted to be saved. But then, next we notice a listening Savior. He hears the cry of the needy. He always does. He loves to hear the sinner cry to him. He delights in the prayer of repentance. He's full of love and mercy. What a benevolent Savior we have. The one who came from heaven into this world and suffered so much for us. Who went through hell on the cross. He loves to save. He delights in those who cry to him. Remember the two people who went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this man here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I thank thee, Lord, I'm such a good person. He didn't need anything. And his prayer had no petitions in it. But then there was the other fellow. You remember him? He was very aware of his sins. He stood afar off. He wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, beat upon his breast, and he cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. He knew he needed mercy. He cried for it. He cried from his heart. And he was saved. He went justified to his house. What is justification? An act of God's grace wherein he pardoneth our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. A wonderful thing to be justified, pardoned, accepted as righteous. Whatever our past, we think of Rahab the harlot. A saint in the church of God. Sinners made into saints. A listening Savior. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus stops. And he listens. And he calls him. And blind Bartimaeus comes. And he says, "What do you want me to do, Lord, that I may receive my sight?" And Jesus said, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Faith saved him. Well, not faith itself, but his faith in Christ. Because it's Christ that saves through faith. Christ's finished work is the ground of our justification. And faith is the instrument that lays hold of Christ. It's the hand that takes that salvation. Thy faith hath saved thee. Receive thy sight. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Do you want to be saved today? Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want to have peace with God? Do you want your blind eyes to be opened? Do you want to be raised from being spiritually dead? Do you want to be set on the road to heaven? Cry out to Christ, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, save me." And then finally, we see the new life. He didn't just get his sight, his physical sight, but he got spiritual sight also. He's a new man, a born-again man. We're told that he followed Jesus. And that's a description of the Christian life, isn't it? Following Jesus. He's the great example. It's not following the world, not following the celebrities or whoever they might be, following Jesus. Saying to Jesus, like Paul did on the Damascus Road, "Lord, what will you have me to do? Not what do I want to do, but what will you have me to do?" A new man, following Jesus with a new life, in love with Jesus. And if we love him, we keep his commandments. He's got a Savior, a new Savior, and a new Master. And he glorified God. And other people were affected too. When they saw it, they gave praise to God. And it gives great joy to Christians to see people being converted. It's wonderful. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. The angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents. And God's people on earth join with the angels, rejoicing when a sinner repents. He followed Jesus, glorifying God. Well, that's why we're here anyway, isn't it? What is man's chief end? What's the purpose of our lives? Why has God made us? Why do you exist? For this sole purpose, to glorify and enjoy God. And you glorify God when you believe in Christ and follow him. And when you do that, you enjoy God. And there's no enjoyment that's comparable with enjoying God, delighting in God, being satisfied with God. There's nothing like the joy unspeakable and full of glory, indescribably great, the joy of salvation. I remember so well the day that I knew my sins were forgiven, the overwhelming sense of joy. My heart filled with love for Jesus and delight and the wonder of it. thinking of Christ on that cross for me, dying for me personally, suffering my hell so that I would have heaven. Well, where do you stand today? Fellow Christian, rejoice in Jesus Christ who opened your eyes. But if you're not a Christian, are you still going on blind? Blind to God, blind to your danger, blind to the hell that you're going to, stumbling along, as it were, the banks of the lake of fire. Any moment you can fall in, lost forever. No second chance. But Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Call out to him today from the depths of your heart. And I can assure you, in God's name, he will save you. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee that we have a wonderful gospel, tremendous Savior, willing to save, mighty to save. He is risen, he is Lord, he's on the throne in heaven, and he's stretching out his hands to poor sinners today. He's telling his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell people what I have done on the cross of Calvary. Declare the glad tidings. There is salvation. Whosoever will, let him come. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Thou art the one who gives sight to the blind. Thou art the one who raises the dead. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Lord, we thank thee for this gospel. Bless it to our souls. Save every one of us. And may we one day be found all together in heaven with thyself, blessed forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.